Good morning, Hurst.
Good morning.
Church family. I am very, very happy to be here with you today. The blessing is mine. And I hope you receive a blessing as well from me and my wife being here today. We all should be happy though, right? We are in the house of the Lord on the special day that He has made for us. Where better to be than the house of the Lord on the Sabbath day? A smile should be on all of our faces. God has brought us through yet another week. And here we are, a week that we can put the past behind us and concentrate on our relationship with our God, our Father, our Savior. I got a question for you. Who in this room wants to go to heaven? I sure hope I see every hand up. Amen. Well, that tells me I'm in the right place. And I want to go to heaven. And I want to see each and every one of you there. My sole duty is to do what I can do to prepare people to meet their Lord and live with Him forever. And wherever I go, my promise is to give you, God's people, what you need to make it through this world and live forever in the next. Give you a thus saith the Lord. A thus saith Pastor James will do nothing for you. You need, I need, a thus saith the Lord. Now from time to time, the messages that I deliver we'll step on a few toes. But I have another saying that goes along with that. Better hurt toes than burnt toes. Hurt toes heal. Burnt toes are forever. Amen? And I tell you, it's not just your toes that get stepped on. As a speaker, mine do as well. The Lord loves those and He rebukes and corrects those He loves. So just if it does step on your toes, know God loves you. And He wants what's best for you. We need not just to have a head knowledge of the Scripture, but practical applications for the times we're living. Brothers and sisters, here's another thing you're going to hear from me if I am so blessed to be chosen to be your pastor. And this is what you will hear each and every week. Jesus is coming soon. The whole rest of the week, the world is telling you that all Jesus isn't coming soon. Do what you want. Wait till later. I'm here to tell you, no. The Scripture tells us clearly, Jesus is coming soon. And I will remind, wherever I am, the congregation of this fact. Not only fact, but great joy. I mean, what a blessing. Does anybody here love living in this world we're living in right now? Pain, suffering, death? I'm ready to get out of here. And I think many of you are as well. And our Lord is coming soon for His people that love Him. Today the message is called Our Greatest Need. This is a foundational message for those who are seeking to be transformed and enter into the kingdom with our Savior. Our God, who loves His children, who knows the beginning from the end, knows that we have this great need. And in His love for us, has provided the best thing that He could give. We will see this today. We will understand this today and know how to access this great gift, this great power from God Almighty. This gift that will lead to peace, joy, strength here in this world and opens a path to eternal life. We are going to look at a parable that Jesus gave to a certain people right before His second coming. But before we move anywhere forward, I got to tell you I'm not a natural here. I'm scared to death to stand in front of people public speaking. This is a good thing for me. I'll never get too comfortable in the pulpit. And it's a good thing for you because I got to let the Lord lead. So please bow your heads with me one more time as we ask the Lord to take over. Father in heaven, Again, we come before your throne of grace and mercy and thank you. Thank you so much for the love you've shown us. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for bringing each and every one of us into this room, your sanctuary today. Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit not only to indwell in me, but each and every one of us. Give us what we need today. Prepare our hearts and minds to live forever with you. Lord, I ask you to take over this message. Let your words be heard, not mine. Let it be straight from you. If I tried to interject anything that's my own thoughts, confuse my mind. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us and what you're going to do for us today and the great message of love you have for each one of us. Thank you for answering this prayer according to your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, because I'm not natural, I get nervous, and from time to time I do have to take a drink of water. My mouth gets dry. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to look at, do a bit of an exegesis through this parable, verses 1 through 13. The parable of the 10 virgins. Can I get an amen when you get there? Wow, this is good. This is a church that gets to the word fast. You're used to going through the word, and that's an important thing. We need to be in the word every day, brothers and sisters. Every day. Let's look at verse 1. It says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." What is this kingdom of heaven? This represents God's people. God's people. This is not 10 people, 5 in the world and 5 in the church. This is 10 people that have the lamps that know the truth. Psalm 119, 105 tells us, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So this lamp that these 10 virgins are carrying is none other than the Word of God. They know the truth in the Word of God. Amen? So this message is for everyone in this room. And it says these 10 virgins, they took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. It says they went out to meet the bridegroom. What does this say? These are people that are looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know what they call people that are looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ? They call them Adventists. Is this message for you today? Are you an Adventist? I am. This message is for me. I think it's for everybody in here. Looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Verse 2. "Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish." This is sobering. This is saying God's people, there's 10 of them, but 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. Let's pray we all are counted in the wise sign of God's people. Amen. Verse 3, it says, "Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." They had the truth, the lamp, the truth. But they had no oil, no extra oil. Verse 4, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." This is important to understand, that the wise took extra oil with their lamps. But I want to point out to you as well, that's equally important, is the order that these were set. You see in verse 3, it says the foolish, right? The foolish first. And in verse 4, it says the wise. You'll understand this in just a moment as we get into verse 5. Verse 5. "But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." Why in the word is there two words for the same thing? They all slumbered and slept. Does that strike you as interesting? Why there's two words for the same action? It does me. When I open the word, why didn't he just say they all slept? Here's why. The Word of God is supernatural. It's deep. There is more to it than just sleeping. And we're about to show you exactly what you're talking about. They all slumbered and slept. So back to 3 and 4, you see that the foolish came first, and verse 4, the wise came second. Let me give you a definition. Let's see. Let's turn this on. The definition of slumber. I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you the modern version from Merriam-Webster's, but then I'm going to give you the Greek definition. Definition of slumber. To be in a torpid, slothful, or negligent state. To lie dormant or latent. The Greek, nystazo, is to nod, to fall asleep, to delay. Pay attention to slothful or negligent state and the word delay. Now let's look at slept. Definition of sleep. The natural periodic suspension of consciousness during which the powers of the body are restored. The Greek, katheudo, sleep, be asleep. Sleep is sleep. Sleep. Amen? Same sleep, the same Greek term, katheudo, is used in Matthew 8:24 when it talks about Jesus sleeping in the boat. Same term. I'm here to tell you that there's a big difference between these two. Didn't we think slumbered and slept the same thing, right? But now we see, we look at the definition from the modern definition and the Greek definition, there is a difference. Those that slumbered were negligent to delay. And those that were asleep or sleeping was just sleeping. What caused this difference? Why this difference? Amen. They both started with oil in their lamps, right? But the wise took extra oil. I want to propose to you that the difference was what was in those lamps is our greatest need. Let's hear what the Spirit of Prophecy, the Word of Inspiration says. It says, they all slumbered and slept. One class in unconcern and abandonment of their faith, the other class patiently waiting till clear light should be given. Yet in the night of trial, the latter seemed to lose to some extent their zeal and devotion. The half-hearted and superficial could no longer lean upon the faith of their brethren. Each must stand or fall for himself. The Great Controversy, 394:1. Brothers and sisters, we cannot rely on our pastor. We cannot rely upon our parents. We all will have to stand for ourselves. Amen? Let's go on to this further explanation from the pen of inspiration of the foolish and wise virgins. It says, others took their lamps and took no oil with them. They had moved from impulse. Their fears had been excited by the solemn message, but they had depended upon the faith of their brethren. Satisfied with the flickering light of good emotions, without a thorough understanding of the truth or a genuine work of grace in the heart. These had gone forth to meet the Lord full of hope in the prospect of immediate reward. But they were not prepared for delay and disappointment. When trials came, their faith failed and their lights burned out dim. The wise virgins. The latter class had received the grace of God, generating enlightening power of the Holy Spirit. In the fear of God, they have studied the scriptures to learn the truth and had earnestly sought for purity of heart and life. These had a personal experience, a faith in God and in His Word, which could not be overthrown by disappointment and delay. Brothers and sisters, the greatest need, the oil in those lamps, the Holy Spirit. The two classes of watchers in the parable of the ten virgins represent the two classes who profess to be waiting for their Lord. They are called virgins because they profess a pure faith. By the lamps is represented the Word of God. The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, our greatest need is the Holy Spirit indwelling in each of us today. The regenerating, enlightening power of the Holy Spirit. We have an enemy that's very wise, very powerful, more powerful than us. So we need a power that he cannot match. Amen? We have no reason to fear the enemy if we will call upon the higher power, the free gift from God. Let's continue in Matthew 25 and we'll pick it up with verse 6. It says, "And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." Verse 6 and 7, here it explains the midnight cry. The midnight cry is from 1844 is where it started and beyond. We are living in the midnight cry, the last days, brothers and sisters. That cry is none other than the three angels' message that we all are to be sharing with the world around us. Again, I remind you, Jesus is coming very soon. All virgins are to be sharing this message in love. We are told in Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." So we have two virgins, the wise and the foolish. Some are in slumber. Some are being negligent. Some are in delay. But there are others that are not. This is the church of Laodicea, brothers and sisters, is it not? And last I checked, Laodicea is the last church in prophetic timeline. We are the church of Laodicea. In our churches are foolish and wise virgins. I pray this church, I don't know anybody here. I pray everybody here is in that wise camp. But the beautiful thing is there's also no one dead in this room today, right? I think everybody's alive. There might be someone asleep, but everybody's alive. If you are alive, you still have time. You can be that wise virgin. Praise the Lord. Amen. It says they arose and trimmed their lamps. This is none other than they are seeing the signs that Jesus gave us in Matthew 24. Things that we are seeing today. Amen. My congregations back in Houston are living through some of those signs. You are seeing it all over the world. Jesus is coming very soon. So they all woke up to this. They're seeing this. It's like, oh, we knew this in the Word. The soon coming of Christ is upon us. Some started reacting properly, the wise. But some realized their lamps were empty. They were just going through the motions. Yes, I go to church on the right day. I don't eat this and I do eat that. But that's all it is. They come to church and then the rest of the week, there's nothing. It's all about whatever you're living. Brothers and sisters, we need to live every day. Every day for God. We don't know when our last day is. I could go out there and pull into traffic today and get hit. In for me. I better live each day, every moment, like I'm ready, prepared to meet my God. Amen? These are things to think about. Where are you today? Only you can answer that question. Where you are today. I can't answer for you. I can't tell you, oh, you're wise or you're foolish. I can't tell you. But you, between you and God, you can decide. And by the grace of God, the power of God, you can make a change if you're not in the wise camp. Praise the Lord. Verse 8. "And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.'" See, the foolish realize now, when they're seeing all the signs around them, that something is missing. They have no power. They said, "Give us some of your oil." They are not prepared. These are ones that have relied upon their parents, relied upon their friends, relied upon the pastors, relied upon the elders for their faith. And they realize they're in a pickle. They haven't studied. They haven't truly consecrated themselves to the Lord. They haven't lived for the Lord 7 days of the week. But there's hope. Remember, I don't want you to walk out of here thinking there's not hope. You're alive today. If you say, this is me today, let now be the day of change in your own life. By the power of God, it can be. Through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, no less there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. When I first read this, I thought of the wise. I said, these are mean people. They're cruel. Here they are. The fools are asking for oil, and they're telling them no. I grew up learning to share. The Bible tells you to share. But in this point, they couldn't share. They're not cruel at all. They just cannot share what they don't own, what they have no power to give. Amen? But they say, go buy. Go buy. They at least directed him in the right direction. They cannot give what is not theirs to give. Remember the opening scripture in Luke 11:13? The good gift given by God is the Holy Spirit. It's one thing also I'm looking around here. I don't physically see God in this room today. I know He's here with us. But I see no physical manifestation. He alone is who gives the Holy Spirit. God bestows on each person as they ask for themselves. And this is not a one and done thing either. Question. At birthdays and Christmas time, those of you who give gifts to your children, how do you know what gift they want the most? They may ask for 100 things, but I guarantee you, by the time Christmas comes, they will have asked for at least one thing many more times than the other gifts. Can I get amen if you know this? Yeah, I know it. I had 2 kids. I had one that wrote some long lists. She worked on it. But there was one gift always that was reoccurring on that list. It just couldn't come once. And we were reminded as well. So it's the same way with the gift of the Holy Spirit. God wants to know you really want it. Remember, God is a God of love. Love requires free will. He will not force Himself on anyone. It's all based on your free will. And as you ask in your free will, repeatedly, God will assuredly give you what you ask for. But the wise had told them to go buy. This reminds me of a scripture in Revelation 3:17, where it's talking to the church of Laodicea. And it says, go buy gold refined. This, brothers and sisters, this gold refined is faith in love. And it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit indwelling. In other words, it's saying, go get sanctification, which is a process of growing in faith in love. How is one to be sanctified? I'll give you just a quick, many of you know this. First, you need to be justified. And we'll do away with all the just of the big jargon. Justified is none other than in faith, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you will accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are justified in faith. But it doesn't stop there, brothers and sisters. The next step is sanctification. Sister White says sanctification is a work of a lifetime. Sanctification is a road that we travel. Sanctification is to grow in the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23. We are sanctified by the Word. In 1 Timothy 4:5, it says we are sanctified by the Word. The Holy Spirit inspires the Word. And in 1 Peter 1:2, we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. And this is what the wise virgins had, that extra oil. They had the extra oil continually pouring into the lamps to keep their lamp, their fire burning. They were continually day by day growing in sanctification of the Spirit. And this is what the foolish woke up and realized they didn't have. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. This represents none other than Jesus coming. Jesus coming, and the wise went in with him. Those that had extra oil in their lamps, continually had the Holy Spirit indwelling in their lives, were able to go in with him. And the foolish, they were out searching for this oil, this sanctification. They couldn't find it. Again, I'm reminded of Scripture in Amos 8:11-13. It said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but the hearing of the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it." And in verse 13, this is interesting to me. It says, "In that day, the fair virgins and the strong men shall faint from thirst." The fair virgins. They will be out seeking for this and will not find it. There will be a drought in the land one of these days very soon. Today is the day, brothers and sisters, to prepare your hearts. Today is the day to allow the Holy Spirit to indwell in you and guide and direct your life. This is the truth we have for today. We need the Holy Spirit indwelling in our hearts to have power for the truth. Now, I just read in verse 10. Now I'm going to read in verse 11 now. It said, "Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up to us.'" Again, I hear the word "Lord, Lord," and trigger something. I've heard "Lord, Lord" in the Bible before somewhere else. Matthew 7:21. Turn with me in Matthew 7:21. I love the power of the Bible. It's so interconnected. If you will just study, God will lead you where you need to go. Matthew 7:21. What does it say here? "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Now, who is this in reference to? Look just ahead of that. Look at verse 19 and 20. "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by your fruits you will know them." What fruits are they talking about? The fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, faithfulness. It's something we all should... This is something I paid special attention to in the last month, is the fruits of the Spirit. I look at the fruits, I go every day and say, "Lord, where am I lacking? Mercy." About every one, there's things He's telling me I need work in. That's okay. As long as I'm willing to work in it, He will give me victory to where one day I will stand and I can honestly say I will have all the fruits of the Spirit. That is what I want. Because you know what? When you have the fruits of the Spirit, you have the character of Christ. And none shall enter the kingdom without the character of Christ. His robe of righteousness. That is what we're striving for, brothers and sisters. And it says clearly here, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by your fruits you will know them." This is who He's talking about in verse 21, "Lord, Lord." And verse 23, "And then I would declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, who practice lawlessness.'" Brothers and sisters, that's exactly what He says in verse 12 to the five foolish virgins. It says, "But He answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you.'" Brothers and sisters, this is the saddest words that Jesus is ever going to have to say to anyone. The saddest words. Let's not let those words be said to any one of us. We don't want the Lord to say, "I knew you not." Amen? Verse 13. It says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." This tells us daily we need to be vigilant and looking for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the only way to do this is to allow the Holy Spirit to indwell in you daily. Brothers and sisters, an individual indwelling of the Holy Spirit is likened unto the early rain. Those that have the Holy Spirit indwelling in them daily will be able to receive the latter rain, which is a corporate outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But let us not expect to get that corporate outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the latter rain, if we don't first have the early rain. Amen? And it's yours for the taking today, brothers and sisters. Should get some hallelujahs out of that. We need to be vigilant. We need to ask for the Holy Spirit to indwell us daily. The disciples did this. In Acts 2, 1 and 4. You can turn with me if you can get there fast enough. You might have beat me there. Acts 2. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." They were already in one accord. Why? Because each one of them had been praying already for the Holy Spirit in their lives. And verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances." Brothers and sisters, when they had the individual, the early rain in themselves, when they came together, then the Holy Spirit could come on them corporately, and then the latter rain Spirit fell upon them. This is exactly how it's going to happen with us. But we have to have the Holy Spirit on an individual basis first, every day. And praying for our brothers and sisters that they receive it as well. This is not a selfish thing. Don't sit there and think, "Oh, I'm going to pray for myself to have the Spirit indwelling in me." No, you pray for your brothers and sisters. You pray for your friends, your loved ones. You pray for the city of Fort Worth. That everyone has the Holy Spirit indwelling. I tell you, the Holy Spirit is with everyone, okay? But He's in them in two different ways. He's either working on you or He's working through you. Which is it? He's working on the whole world right now in various ways. And He'll use us to help bring those people that need to know the truth of the love of Jesus Christ. He's working on many people. But He wants to work through you. Because then you can be a powerful agent to get this work done, to get this message out. And again, I remind you, Matthew 24, 14, "And then the end will come after this gospel is preached to the whole world." It doesn't mean we have to convert everybody. That is not our job. We are not junior Holy Spirits. We do have to share in love. And that's important, and we'll see if you hear that message from me. That'll be your decision. The truth in love. You share the truth any other way, it's not from God. I met some mean people. They're standing out on the corner, and they're, "You're going to burn in hell," holding signs. Is that loving? Is that the way Jesus did it when He walked this world? Absolutely not. We have to share the truth in love. We'll leave it at that. In Steps to Christ, page 70, we are told to consecrate ourselves to the Lord every day. It said, make this your very first work. Because the Holy Spirit will give you power to pray. In Romans 8:26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps in our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." We don't even know how to pray for ourselves, brothers and sisters. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, He will pray for us and send those prayers up to God the Father exactly the way they need to be heard. Even better than if we knew what we were saying. Amen? The Holy Spirit will give us power to obey. Zechariah 4:6, it says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, thus saith the Lord." He'll give you power to pray. He'll give you power to obey. And He'll give you power against deception. The Holy Spirit was sent to guide all into all truth. Amen? And I actually have another. The Holy Spirit is our protection against deception. We know, brothers and sisters, in this world today, every wind of doctrine is blowing. Amen? You've heard it all. Well, no, you haven't heard it all. There's more coming. I'm afraid to see what's coming. Some of the stuff that's already we're hearing is just ridiculous. But it's blowing. But how do you know what the truth is, brothers and sisters? The only way to know the truth is stay close to this right here. This is the only thing that you can trust in this world. You can't trust pastors without this. Myself included. You want to make sure this message is correct? Check these scriptures. Make sure I gave it to you right. Your eternal life depends upon it. How much of you, when you go to buy a house or a car, you're going to check out that car. You're going to see the gas mileage on that car, right? You're going to see how much gas mileage it gets. See how well it's built. All these things. Why? Because you're spending your hard-earned money. You're going to spend it on this product. You want to make sure you get the best thing, right? How much more important is your eternal life than the car you're going to buy that you're spending money on that's going to burn up anyway? If your eternal life depends upon it, check it out. Check it in the Word of God, brothers and sisters. This is your only guide against deception. The Holy Spirit is who inspired this. The Holy Spirit that inspired this will also inspire you to understand it. Amen? Here's the Holy Spirit, our protection against deception. As we near the end of time, falsehood will be so mingled with the truth that only those who have the guidance of the Holy Spirit will be able to distinguish truth from error. I ask you, do you need the Holy Spirit? Amen. I need it. I need a double portion if I'm standing before you, because also in the Bible, in James 3:1, it says, if I choose to stand before you, I am going to be held to a higher standard. So if I get up here, I better know that I'm held to a higher standard, and I better give you the truth. And I fear God, brothers and sisters. I will give you the truth. But check me out anyway. Check me out anyway. It's only for your own good. Amen? We have to ask for this Spirit indwelling every day. Remember, God is a God of love. 1 John 4:8. And love is based upon free will. True love forces nobody to do anything. Love requires free will. We have to ask every day. It's not one and done. Just like not once saved, always saved, brothers and sisters. We have a work to do, a daily work. And it's giving our will over freely to God. We can't make ourselves better. We can't do good on our own. But He has given us a gift, given us a power that we can grow in Christ's character. And that is the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I'm just going to give you... Oh, we got time. Turn with me to Acts 2:4 first. Acts 2:4. We already read it once, but we're going to read it again. And that's an earth, the beautiful thing about the Bible. You can read the same scripture 100 different times and maybe get 100 different things out of it. It's a supernatural book. It's beautiful. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with the other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Were the disciples filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes or no? Okay. Turn with me now to Acts 4:31. Now this is not talking about the same time. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Well, I thought they got, back in Acts 2, I thought they got the Holy Spirit. Here we are in Acts 4, and they're praying, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them again. It's a different day. Every day, you need a fresh indwelling of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen? We need to start each day with the Holy Spirit indwelling us to receive the power that God has for us to pray, to obey, and to avoid deception. And that's so important these days. You know, Jesus' example. Let's see here. Will you forward the slide for me? Just two. For some reason, mine's not... There we go. Christ, our example. Not for himself, but for others, he lived, thought, and prayed. From hours spent with God, he came forth morning by morning to bring the light of heaven to men. Daily, he received fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Christ's object lesson is 139. If it's good enough for Jesus to do, you better believe it's good enough for you to do. Daily, he received a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it says morning by morning. Here's what it says for us. For the daily baptism of the Spirit, every worker should offer his petition to God. Acts of the Apostles, page 50. Are you a worker? Are you a servant of God? What should we do? Every day, offer our petition to God for the Holy Spirit. Amen? Again, I want to remind you, it's not too late for any one of us. If we're not doing that today, we can start right now. Say, forgive me, God. And he will. And everything's fresh and new, and start for it every day. Watch the changes, the difference that will happen in your life when you give your will over to God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to end on an illustration. I'm going to give you an illustration. Everybody's familiar with kids going to school. Sometimes kids, well, I don't know if they do it so much anymore. But some kids had to walk to school. Their parents work. They had to walk to school. Some of my grandpa said he walked up and down hills 10 miles in the snow. And I've heard that from other grandparents, so I'm not so sure he was being truthful with me. But anyway, we'll leave that where it is. Here's the illustration. For this illustration, imagine yourself, you are a kindergartner child. Shouldn't be letting your kindergartner walk to school alone, but you got to walk to school every day. Okay? Every day you walk to school, you pass this particular corner, and on that corner is a bully. Now with this bully also, he's got a little toady too with him. They're mean kids. Every time you pass this bully to school, he punches you in the nose and steals your lunch money. Every day without exception. You walk to school, he punches you in the nose, steals your lunch money. Sometimes his little toady punches you. Now, the thing is, you're getting tired of this. But your light bulb goes off over your head. I have an older brother in high school. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell my brother what this bully is doing to me. I'm going to tell my brother that every time I go to school, I pass this corner, there's a bully, punches me in the nose, and steals my lunch money. Now, what do you think is going to happen when this little kindergartner kid goes and tells his older brother that this bully is punching him in the nose every day? That older brother is going to walk him to school, is he not? He loves him, right? He will walk him to school. Now, what do you think is going to happen with this bully and this toady when they see your older brother that's in high school? Remember, fifth grade high school. No chance in standing against a high school brother, right? They're going to turn tail and run. They're going to flee in fear. Amen? Well, let me tell you who this bully is. The bully is Satan. But not only that, his little toady is your carnal self. Yeah, you beat yourself up too. It's not only the devil. We do some dumb things to ourselves. We beat ourselves up. This kindergartner can every day ask for his older brother to walk him to school because his older brother loves him and doesn't want him to get beat up. And he will do that. Now, would it be foolish for this kindergartner to walk to school alone without his older brother? Because you know what's going to happen. He's going to walk to school without his older brother. He's going to pass that corner. The bully's not going to see the older brother. He's going to punch you in the nose. Toady's going to get you too. It's foolish not to allow your older brother to walk you to school when you have the opportunity. Amen? This is the same thing. This older brother is the Holy Spirit, this wonderful gift that God has given us to walk us through life, to guide us, to keep us from temptation, to keep us from getting punched in the nose by the devil or his toady, which is your carnal self. The question today, are you going to ask for your older brother to walk you to school starting today? Or are you going to go through, what's that definition of sanity, doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results? You're going to do that. It's your choice. I can't choose it for you. You can't choose it for me. But I guarantee you, you will see a real power in your life. You see a real change in your life. You will have a peace in your life when you allow the Holy Spirit to indwell every day. And you start your day off this way, but brothers and sisters, sometimes you do something silly and you're going to have to ask again during the day. Sometimes you'll ask multiple times because you've shooed him away. But he will come back every time you ask. And every time you bring back, your life becomes more powerful. You will have a peace in your life that surpasses all understanding. You will have a strength and a joy and a power to grow, to be like Christ in character, to finish the work that God has given you to do. Because we're promised when the work is finished, we all get to go home. We can make this happen sooner than later. And all we have to do, and this is kind of hard, it's kind of hard and easy. It's hard because we don't like to give our will up to anything. We like to be in charge. I like to be in charge of my life. But that's the hard part. When you just give your will over to the Lord, let Him take charge. It's that easy and that hard. But again, I remind you, Philippians 4:13, through Christ who strengthens me, all things are possible. Amen? Brothers and sisters, if you understand a little deeper what God wants you, what the gift that God has for you, the Holy Spirit, He wants you to have the Holy Spirit in your life every day to protect you, to guide you, to lead you. If it is your wish today to make that a part of your life, start your day off. First thing you do when you get out of bed, drop to your knees. Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to indwell in me, take over, guide me and direct me. You ask for it, you will receive it. That you can be assured of. If this is your wish today, I ask you to stand with me as we pray to God and ask Him for His power, His strength, His Holy Spirit to indwell in us. Because those that allow the Spirit to indwell will be led directly to the kingdom where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. Amen? We all want to get there. I know everyone in this room is suffering in one way or another. Why? Because I know you're living in the same world I'm living in. And the devil is relentless. He's coming after us with everything he's got because he knows time is short. Bow your heads with me in prayer. Father in heaven, again, we come before your throne of grace and mercy, humbly thanking you for the messages of mercy you give us to remind us that you have a power for us, Lord. We just have to grab a hold of you. We thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins so that we have an opportunity for this extra gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, impress upon our hearts to call upon you every day, to ask for you to lead us, guide us in every way we live. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all here today. Thank you for what you're going to do for us as we move forward in faith, calling upon your Spirit to guide us and lead us to grow in your character. Thank you, Lord, for answering this prayer according to your will and your will alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.